Okay, cool.
Set it up. I report my investment today. In the morning today, my stomach in little bad problem before shampoo. So I'm little tired, but I still try to accept and relax and try to aware my mind, and keep calm down. So I feel my mind better and
better.
Yes. Yeah. Every day when I come here, the more I practice, and the less energy I use to aware.
What? The more you practice,
the less energy.
Yes, because the natural moment that is coming.
But every day in my temple, I know if I can aware everywhere, it's good for me. But I think I sometimes lazy to keep that to do it.
Lazy.
Because of my temple. But if you understanding the value of practice, you know this is good, but you're not really understanding the value of very well about the value of practice. So the willing to practice is not increasing yet. If you're willing to practice is very strong, naturally you cannot stop.
Motivation
look yeah. And motivation is good. So value, you need to check value of understanding, value of awareness, value of wisdom. You more and more understanding, then meditation is keep going.
Yeah.
And also laziness, also you know your laziness. Then try, why do you not try to be aware of lazy? Because of lazy. But laziness is also object. You can change your mind. Laziness also object. Then you can aware the laziness goes immediately, not very long.
Yes.
But you follow the laziness, then you cannot do anything. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
At the beginning, I said that it's hard for me to do the meditation when I just woke up. But last Tuesday, when I woke up, my mind is talking so much, and it's very hard to stay awake. Suddenly, I remember the stage of mind is also object. So the mind right at that moment is awake. And I can aware. Since then, every morning seems easy.
When we have defilements, we are allowing the defilements to overwhelm us, to take over, instead of being aware of them. And he says, but if we want to, we can just become aware of them, and then the work will be done.
And then on last Tuesday, we played golf. I played golf. I climbed up the tree. I played volleyball. I played soccer. I played tennis. I walk under the water. So many, many activities. But because I remember you said that don't try to maintain the equanimity, but maintain the awareness. So when I play golf or tennis, I let the mind see what the most obvious object. So I pay my attention to my hand when I hold the club or the racket. And when I play volleyball, the object is on my foot because I'm on barefoot and walk on the sand. And when I walk under the water or the tree, the sensation of the coolness and the roof of the tree, that's my anchor point. So I play wholeheartedly, but my knowing mind still put in the anchor point. So in the afternoon when I was sitting, the mind knowing a lot of different things. The mind is knowing the eyelid is touching and warmness, the heaviness of the leg crossing, the hand touching, the sound hearing, the heartbeat, my bottom touching, my abdomen and my shoulder movement, the cold and the warm of the air flow differently. Sometimes images and thinking come in the mind. The mind keep chattering. So, and then I pay attention to all of that, but I didn't know that it was knowing mind. I pay attention to knowing mind until the point that I start slowly get into pay attention only on the abdomen and the story of the chattering. And then everything gone, only that two object left. Right at that point, after that, and then right after that, suddenly everything come back. I know everything like from beginning. And I realized that last report, I was confused that I know the movement of the abdomen, but I also feel like lost in thought. So I realized that because I was paying attention to the object, not the awareness, the mind. So when I recognize that, I also see the same thing when I was walking. The beginning of the retreat, I said that I feel something missing when I walk and talk. So I feel the same thing too when I walk and talk. I pay attention to the object, not the mind. So that's why I feel like I'm missing something. But when the awareness picking up, and I have a way of knowing mine, then everything come back in the picture. So it's feel more like complete.
Now
I love it. Xin chào tất cả xin
chào. Okay. Tôi nghe anh ấy sợ rồi. Anh ấy sợ là tôi ở đâu sợ đi thảo của chúng ta rồi. Bây giờ tôi đi phố cao này tham gia rồi. À, tôi tất tất bây giờ bây giờ rồi. Ừ. Ồ, cái giá là sẽ có thêm tham mẹ xa thì đi thảo của chúng ta rồi. Nếu mà tôi thay nét chỉ mà tôi bây giờ ai cũng nhớ ai thì đấy, tôi ai cũng nhớ ai bây giờ đấy. ไอ้เฉยมาอายุเนี่ยอายุติดอ่ะติดอ่ะนี่ติมาไอ้โหลอายุอายุติเปียเนี่ยติรู้อย่างเลยสรุปตัวสึกแท้มาไม่ย่ายมีอูเด้อายุอายุติเลยรู้ก็ติเลยแหละだแม้แต่เฉยมาสึกก็ย่อว่ะแหละทีเนี่ยเออตัวอ่ะพ้องเป๋นเนี่ยดีอตวยเว้ยจ่ะเนี่ยไอ้นึกก็ไปติเลยเอ้อล่ะพี่รอตอนนี้จ้ะรอเ
ปียโตล่ะ
อกุณาหาเลยอกลงเปียติว่ะအဲ့ဒါကိုဟိုတနေ့ကသူပြောတယ်လေသူကဖောင်းပိန်တည်နေမျောစိတ်ကမျောပါနေတယ်ဆိုတော့မဟုတ်ဘူးသူကအာယုန်နေအများကြီးကိုရှင်းရှင်းလင်းလင်းမသိတော့သူကမျောနေလို့ထင်းနေတာတကယ်တမ်းသူကတည်နေတယ်ဒါပေမဲ့အာယုန်ရှိရောက်နေတယ်စိတ်ကိုရှိမရောက်တော့အဲ့လောက်မရှင်းဘူးပေါ့သူပြောတယ်ဟိုတနေ့ကဇင်းညာရှောက်နေတယ်သူစိတ်ထက်မှာတခုခုလိုနေတယ်လို့ခံစားရတာစိတ်ကအာယုန်ရှိရောက်နေတခုခုလိုနေတယ်လို့ပဲအဲ့စိတ်မှနေသူကအကုန်လုံးတည်နေပြည့်စုံနေတယ်ခံစားရတယ်အဲ့လိုမျိုးသူပြော
ဟုတ်တယ်ဒီ I activity တွေမှာတကယ်တမ်းပြောရင်ဒီဖျားတွေလိုက်လို့ဘလို့မှမမိနိုင်ဘူး support လုပ်လဲဆိုတော့ဒါမြန်မြန်လုပ်ရတဲ့ကိစ္စလေး now daily activity မှာမြန်လုပ်ရတဲ့ကိစ္စ I don't know like ဆိုမောပါမှာ
ဒါမှမဟုတ်တော့
အဲ့တော့အမှန်ကအဲ့ချိန်မှာတဘာဝအတိုင်းစိတ်ကဒါတွေအာယုံဆက်ပြီးသားကိုလောက်ရမှာစိတ်ကယူဆက်ရုံမှာ
tamae tu wa ro ho gaza de a chei ma tu de di a law a ma kaung tu ba lo le so to khu kha na tu a yo bi khu yu tha de tamae a lo kha na kha na lo pho lo pho chou sa tha ro de di a shei tat twa da bo yeah sia ro said yeah when we do sports and all that if you
the khu we te thai no ya
If you can keep one anchor, it's good. So you just play wholeheartedly, but you one mind still remember to keep being mindful. Then your mindfulness will still grow. And he says, of course, if you are skillful at knowing the mind, then when you play sport, then most of how we play is with the mind.
Automatically, so the mind already attention this.
If you know the mind, then
if the mind not pay attention to this, you cannot play. Already there, so you need to check the awareness, mind or mind state enough. Then you no need to follow every object. If you follow the every object, then you cannot very tired. Because whatever you do, the mind is paying attention already. Naturally, the mind thinking, sanya walking, paying attention, mind activity already there. Then you can check the mind. That's enough. You can see everything.
But
if you're not capable of to watch the mind, then you can use the some object, the state, main object, and awareness present.
But before, when I play or I do an activity, the only difference before and just last Tuesday that I did not pick one anchor point. So I know the state of mind when I get excited or when I feel something, the knowing here and there.
Mm.
But when I get lost, I do not know how to get back. So the only difference that I pick the most obvious anchor point from beginning. So when I get lost, I just come back. Mm-hmm. And just keep an eye on the
Palu. That's no problem. You need to make grounded.
And then after all the activities, I come back and sit. So the good thing is because I try to maintain, I have a lot of activity, but I try to maintain the knowing mind. So that's why I figure out my confusion and how I feel last time. I also, by the end of the day, before I slept, I check and I see I did my yogi job. I try to aware, I maintain awareness, but it seemed that I didn't check the right attitude.
Right view.
So what was it? So that's the question. I don't try to answer it, but it was there. So that one day, and because of that, the momentum it kicked in, and it's getting better on the next day. And then on the next day, I woke up, I have a headache, and there's a slightly thought that because I have very serious migraine headache, so whenever it's hitting, I have aversion to that. So even though I didn't tell myself, but there's a thought that take it easy. But I didn't pay attention to that thought.
Mm-hmm.
So I have aversion, but I didn't know. It's very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
And then
so I'm a migraine kid. So I can't get lying. So I say I'm a child.
But the momentum is still there, so I went to breakfast. I have breakfast and try to be mindful. And I recognize that, the mice start to set or the standard. When I figure that out when I make coffee. I put how much sugar in, how much cream in, and it say, this is how it's be good. Even though it haven't tested yet, but they say this is good.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that again.
Coffee low in a cigar, but look calm as well.
I see that again when somebody come and say hi, and I try to smile. I see how my face react and how my hand waving.
Mm-hmm.
This is how it's supposed to be, and I feel so funny.
Just chalu la, but no se da tu piao ne po san tu bolu piao ne bolu la pia la so tu di chao tu mio yi pia chao tao tao. Lo yu la yu.
I see like how the show put up is quite funny.
Just because it's not habit yet to know like that.
Last time, we think it's me. Now it feels like you're looking at something else.
doing?
Actually, as a remembering, as experience is trigger the memory come back. Like before, I already have the experience, so now it come back. So it's just kind of like make it more understandable.
Mm, do you know like the little people that I'm like, I'm here to, but I, that is yeah.
And then to the sitting, I was sitting in the Blind Mahal, and because of the understanding yesterday, now I do not pay attention to the object. Try to pay attention more on the mind, and knowing mind. So the chattering in between the chattering is nonstop in the mind. But now I can see in between that storyline, the mind is quite lighter. Clear. So I say, this is how it should be. Most easy, light, nice. So certainly, not suddenly, but little by little, the chattering subsides.
Mm. Okay. I think myself and I say, need to say goodbye for people choose out of it. Hello. Say, guys, I got your name. Yeah, yeah, I did a second. It did. Oh, bother over the people. Never worry.
I sat almost 2 hours, and I start to see the mind said, I know, good, I'll pass through the experience. So I
said, you know. The night time, no, count it, be already, be like that, let's take a douse. Count it, routine it, that's what I did.
And after lunch, I try to do the same, try to mindful, try to do like yesterday, but I didn't know there's a delusion, say, try to copy whatever happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. So I practice.
Ne lo ba bi phit chin na di town ma tha mi tu lou ni da ai lo ba ai ne lou ni.
So by the evening I can see that the mindfulness is going down, the moment I'm going down. So I keep asking, what did I do wrong? How was it? I did less activity. I know. How come it's happened this way?
Tadi shi ya da ne ti ni ma le ti ni le cha ri ya ba ne a ri pi pyo
la. I didn't see that until I get into the room and suddenly feel released. Now you can take rest. Right at that point I can say, ah, I was practice with wrong attitude.
Ai ne ya ma tu a na lo ya le lo se ka pyo ma oh tu a ho ma a yan tin tha la lo lo chin.
And with the aversion of the headache all day long, I don't look at that aversion. Instead, I just try to avoid it. And also because I try to copy the experiment yesterday, that's why the momentum is going down. And then
the basic formula, Matthew.
It's a basic formula. Not passed the exam yet.
And then I realized, now the question from yesterday, I did try to mindful, try to maintain, but I didn't check my attitude, so I didn't do my yogi job correctly.
Check it first. Before whatever you do, before doing checking first, attitude.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You can probably go lam and deal lamming that too.
Lamming? Do you?
You have a DT, the acid in
the air. Lying in lava. Lying in lava. Lying in that hall.
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
So since I see that, I check my attitude. I say, okay, you can get the pen. You can be disliked. All I have to do is just record you. I'm just... okay, whatever you do your job, I do my job. So, since that until I fall asleep, the momentum start to get up. This morning I woke up, the headache still there, but the mind very clear. The notice is like just like the day before. So I say, don't think about it. Don't try to copy. So I'm keep doing that and go to the dining hall, meditating all that. But does people come and correct me with no talking, no playing? Does it, like, during the whole time, a lot of people come and say, you talk, you play? They try to correct me. I never say a word to them, but I do not appreciate it. Until today. Until today, the first time I feel they have good intention. That's good. They just want to be better. They do their job, I do my job. I have nothing to do with each other, but I appreciate the intention.
Yeah. He says when the mind becomes good, when the wholesome mind come back, you see what they do positively. Yeah, what you do. Yeah, but when the mind not so wholesome, then doesn't like what they do.
Yeah. So it's not like try to be better. It's just the mind just be seeing more positively.
Yeah, when it's more wholesome, you will do that.
See the chandani, see the everyone.
When the mind is clear, when the mind is stable, they will see things more clearly.
Mm-hmm. I also see that the awareness is like a post when they a checkpoint, mm-hmm. that anything good and bad, it's just coming. I'm welcome everything. Just come in, come out. But there's the awareness. It says aware. Don't try to stop at one point, then you will lose everything. Just check and let go. Check and let go.
Mama, I'm so tired. I'm going to yap to my boy. Light. Something.
And the mind becomes so light. So it's easy going.
Okay. Interesting. Next.
I hope it is.
You were in the second group,
too.
Yeah. Second
group. First group. Take
nobody in the first group volunteering, no? Okay.
I've been watching mostly because it's not a lot of aversion or attachment, so I try to just, usually watches, oh, there's no aversion, there's no attachment, it's feel good attitude there. But then I realize that I've been missing a lot of delusion. So I try to watch it more because I know delusion's always been there. So lately I've been watching it and I think I realize that I've been missing that, and now that I watch it, I can see quite often when I think there's no delusion, there is some delusion
there.
Yeah, says if there's not some kind of wisdom operating in the mind, then delusion will be there.
So I have a... Yeah, I'm watching, try to be aware from the moment I'm awake to the moment I fall asleep, and I think many of the morning I realize that it may take only a few seconds after I wake up that I start to be aware again.
Mm-hmm.
And falling asleep, I probably follow it almost to the end. I can't be sure because when I fall asleep, but I try to be as much as to the last moment as possible. Mm-hmm. And one other time that I was, I remember now that it was some judging happening while I was dreaming, and I was aware of the judging.
So
there's
a second time that happened.
Yeah, things of the mind habitually do come up in the mind.
I have a question about whether or not in the book side of, because I always try to watch the pleasantness and unpleasantness, if whether that the side of said try to watch the feeling more, then so I wonder, is that the awareness of the pleasantness and unpleasantness? I'm still not able to really.
It should be a feeling of bojis or a kanzalu kauna, kanzalu makauna, a rautia, menu, fiora la.
Kanzalu kauna makauna. Present feeling, unpleasant feeling.
Mm.
Feeling and do. Present and feeling, unpleasant and feeling. Feeling up to a reality. Present, unpleasant, and concept in it.
You start by knowing pleasantness and unpleasantness. Then you will start to know there's pleasant feeling versus unpleasant feeling, and feeling is the.
Present, unpleasant, the detail is neutral, so no feeling.
Yeah. If you just know pleasant or unpleasant and you don't know feeling, then when it's neutral, you feel like there's
no feeling.
But actually, that's neutral feeling. So,
aware more of the knowing of the
It's all there. In the pleasant and unpleasantness, the feeling is there, the knowing is there. It's all there. So just keep knowing that. Keep knowing, you know, whether the intensity changes and so on.
Decrease, increase, arising, changing, passing away. I'm a feeling bhavita.
Feelings of that.
Yeah, sometimes I can note the where and I can see it arising and passing, you know. But I'm wondering if I should pay attention more to the knowing.
Changing, you mean?
Yeah, changing, rapidly changing.
With none of the music. With none of the music. I present and present, not my journey with them. Not my pillar with them. I only take it in my pillar with them. Always neutral. Do their neutral feeling that you can.
Yeah, Tara says when we feel pleasant and unpleasant, the feeling is already quite advanced, you know, perception has worked, judgment has come in, the mind has given the sense, you know, the reality a value judgment, so it becomes pleasant or unpleasant. But when there's contact, there's just feeling, there's just a function of feeling. Not that we can try to be aware of it, yeah, but we just know that.
Contact with the nashi.
So not that he wants you to try to see that or intellectualize it, but just so you have the theory about it. And we start by being aware of pleasant and unpleasant, knowing that there is a feeling function to knowing pleasant and unpleasant.
Since I've been practicing more noticing the mind, citta, vipassana, there's a lot more continuity of checking to see what's going on in the mind in relationship to whatever the object is, whatever the situation is around me, whatever the thought has come up. And there can be, I notice in my daily life, there can be a lot more activity around that because the mind is more alert in my daily life. Just walking in the dining room and noticing how the mind wants to be secluded, or noticing if somebody pays attention, notice or calls me, noticing something happening in response to that. So there's a lot of activity and openness in the daily life, which I really appreciate.
To say the detail, to the research, I know that I'm going to say that I'm going to say that I'm going to say that I'm going to say
that
I'm going to say that I'm going to say that I'm going to say
And when I'm sitting, it's more quiet. There can tend to be more calmness in the mind, more the subtle states that are easy to deal with. However, there's memories, a lot of memories come up. And when the memories come up, they come up as if they were like a mirage on the water, and they're just floating away. But then the mind has a reaction to that memory. It's either that it wants it or it doesn't want it, pleasant or unpleasant, or it can be slight aversion, or it can be the agitation of the wanting mind. So it can also be interesting in the sitting, even though there can be more kind of calm and peacefulness in the sitting because of the perception and memories.
When it's quieter and calmer, it's easier to watch the mind and its activities in more detail. Subtle mind means that, you know, the mind is just in its like starting to grow phase. It hasn't got gross too much. It's just beginning to try and gain strength, and to see it when it's just beginning to try to come into being. And
And sometimes it's like that there's the mind that's coming into being, and then there's the awareness of that. But somebody said this last time too, it's very clear that mind that's coming into being, somehow the result of that has already been known, and so there is something in the mind that says, no need. No need for this whole thing to be known. And it sort of just drops away. Because it knows already that it will become more involved, or it's unnecessary. Something like that can happen.
To say a sally downtown la yong where she did it. Tama sika tini bi tu ba pyoji man tini bi so tu ba mlo ba wu re ba so tu di ha yo lanzin yo tini bi ya pyo bi so mlo ba wu re phi la
especially with memories
when the mind understands, it's not necessary. He says the wisdom is there.
And then there's one other thing that's been coming up in my practice, maybe in the last year or more, is the noticing of attachment in the mind. The noticing of attachment is very clear, and the danger of it is very, very clear. Much clearer. It's like I heard in the Tibetan tradition that at first when you practice, it's like feeling a stone in your foot. It's really big. And then it becomes like a stone in the hand. It's even bigger. But then it feels like those defilements are like something in the eye. And it's like it really, really bothers you, even though it's very, very subtle. The agitation is very... It's high, but it's subtle. Those two things are coming together. Right, when the mind becomes more pure, then the subtlest defilements become
very obvious, very strong.
So the danger, the understanding the second noble truth, the danger of attachment, craving is so much bigger for me now because of attention to the mind.
Sarah says the Buddha talks about avijja and tanha together because although avijja is the root cause, tanha is equally strong. So although it's because of delusion that we attach, but then after the attachment has begun, everything is done just because of attachment.
Mm-hmm.
Wanting, holding on.
And those recognitions are being made with not so much identification. It's dangerous, but it's just happening. It's doing its thing. It's kind of taking itself out of the mind. So not so worried about it, letting it do its thing.
If you understand its nature, if you understand it's doing its thing, he said, then we don't have to worry about it too much.
It's kind of good that it's letting itself happen.
This is the natural way, the middle way. Things happen as they do, things come and go as they do, and we just allow them to do that, and we can, understanding can grow from that.
Nobody
is in pain, he said.
pain is my problem.
If it's my pain, then it becomes a problem. So long as we don't understand aversion, anger, dosa, irritation, whatever, we will still be overcome by it.
So I kind of let it swell and watched it. And then in one case decided my attention would be better focused elsewhere in that moment, and then referencing back to further understand it afterwards.
Lo sia na tuku a chou po shi de ai a chou shi de ha tu lo lai ma di ha tu le lu shu tha na ma tu shu ma
na ma shu ma lo ya ma
yeah you can
call na ja ma a si si chi de si pya call chu
when you come and you know you have time then you can bring it back and try to watch the movie.
Well, it didn't really leave entirely, it sort of kept weaving itself into that.
He says we can't avoid it because first we have to understand dosa, and when we understand dosa, then we start to see the cause of dosa, lobha. What do we see when we first? What do we we come against, he says, when we observe dosa most, is how much the suffering it brings this mind. When the understanding of the suffering that allowing dosa to continue to live in this mind, you know, how much suffering it brings to this mind, when the understanding of that becomes very strong, when we have suffered enough, he said, then the mind doesn't want to have dosa anymore. So first we begin to understand that dosa is not me. Dosa is a mental quality, and we don't have to feed it because it causes suffering. He says, but understanding that, still not enough. It still comes. Still arises. And then the mind starts to look. Why does then dosa arise? It doesn't want it to arise. It doesn't want it, but it still arises. So what is the cause for dosa to arise? Loba, greed, and delusion. It sees these two that feed into so then the mind becomes more alert, more watchful, more careful when there's greed. It starts to notice subtle greeds that are going to lead to aversion later. It starts to watch out for attachment. So one time he woke up early in the morning, it was quiet, the environment was quiet, it was quiet in the mind, it was clear. And then the mind said, this is so good, he said. And then he says, actually there was a bit of wisdom. Wisdom said, what are you making good? It's good on its own. Why are you trying to own it? And he said, thank God that came in. Because if that wisdom didn't come in, he says, then the mind starts to do it. Starts gooding. Oh, this is so good, this is good. And then he says, if there's any disturbance to that quietness, the mind will get irritated. But if there's understanding, that, well, quietness is an object, this is something to know, and there's knowing, then when there's noise, then there's something to know, and there's knowing, and, you know, if there's understanding, then the mind, it doesn't get into that. It stops that train right from the beginning, doesn't get on the lower train. He said, quiet is quiet. Why is the mind making it good?
quiet is just quiet.
But greed does that. There's some things it wants to think is good, feel, yeah.
It sort of felt like, especially with anger, kind of like being in the hot soup. The more you feed it, it's more like somebody keeps throwing ingredients on top of you and stirring.
So good, he said, the more we suffer, the better.
I thought I'd rather be stirring than watching the
much better to be watching the soup. He says, then you're not involved in the dosa. You're not believing the dosa. He says, otherwise you're in the hot soup.
Well, it felt like then the next time it arose in a different situation, I could smell the soup and I was like, I'm not going there.
I don't want to watch it either.
I know, I wanted to watch it, but I knew what it smelled like, so I didn't need to like get into it.
Yeah, look at some other dishes.
It also seemed interesting. It was more interesting when I could kind of sense
its presence and be able to witness from
suffering so suffering feeling or chi to kid.
Sometimes it's good to practice with suffering. He says when we meet it and we're able to, he says you get to a point where suffering is happening, but the watching is free from the suffering. So it understands suffering is happening, but it's free from the suffering. It feels really good.
It felt more like there was so much energy that even though I could see, I just chose not to get more involved.
Not get sucked in.
Yeah, but I could still feel the rising of the energy, and then when it eventually started to settle and sort of, I don't want to say witness, but kind of look at the
suffering. Suffering,
That's how you watch, he says. You can't stop it, but you watch from this.
And it felt very strong too, the closer the in the last couple of days, just my energy comes way up and then sometimes goes way down, and then watching how it shifts and changes. We've been very kind of hyper aware, because that's sort of the presence of practicing for so many days, the momentum. And seeing sort of when crisis came in and the energy had been way up from something else, from so being kind of excited and working and doing, and then there was crisis and it sort of went
dead job. The cool excited feel like not good other people say got jar like a load that jar any are mean about
the same do you way sure now that I don't shoot them.
Yeah, so in the beginning we're watching what's happening. It happens, we know. And then later he says we begin to find out why it happens. When the awareness is more continuous, we can see the reasons. So so I suppose into could be hard to be though. He said something that I was going to say, but I forgot because. You'll come back.
And then my other question was about kind of his perspective on mantra, the use of a mantra, and if in my practice I find that just weaving through my life that I have certain mantras that come up at different times.
He was just saying, was it about that if your awareness is continuous, you'll see, you know, cause and effect. That's not what he said just now. Yeah.
So I'm kind of wondering the perspective on having sort of a mantra. Does that become an anchor, or does it become a habit, or?
You mean like the cork in the sea?
Cork in the sea.
Okay.
Not my monkey, not my circus. Whatever.
Mantra
this will pass. Whatever it is.
Look at the feeling that the mind is trying to avoid by using the mantra. Look at the feeling. Only if you can't bear to watch it, if it's really horrible. Because the level of understanding you can get from watching, Seattle says, is way, way more than trying to just use a mantra, which sort of like overlays what's happening. He says all of us have our little mantras. to try. He says, if you don't believe, ask the whole room. Everybody has their thing to say to themselves to make themselves feel better, you know. And he says,
But
we've done it our whole lives, and all it's got us is the same place. We haven't gotten much further than using the mantra, he says. But
to get deeply understanding Lojin as a product.
The goal is to get where you don't need to use a mantra, that you understand so deeply that you're just okay. And he says, for that, you need to open the door. You need to open the gates wide open and just know. It's not beautiful, just know it's not beautiful. There's no need to cover it and make it seem more palatable.
So if it's something that comes up, it sort of triggers one kind of mantra or another because our habits and patterns.
Mm.
Habit patterns don't dismiss immediately.
Yeah.
So then to take that and then look kind of back in to see
what is it?
What the trigger is.
What the trigger, yeah. Ero, seka, taku kilo seka mantra yu.
Right.
And then the mantra kind of will eventually fall
away. So you just know the mantra's come up and there's no need for it. It'll be there, but then you look at what's triggered. Particularly, usually it's because of dosa. And so just watch that dosa. He's very lucky. Very young, at a very young age, his teacher told him, he says, when you know what is happening as it is, that's right view. And because of that, he says, from a very young age, he stopped trying to not be what he feels. He just let himself feel, let himself be, and he was delighted if he knew anything about himself, even if it was disgusting, he said, because it was like, this is right view, this is right view. It's such a positive attitude. He says he doesn't know how to hit him, but he loved it. He just stopped trying to cover up anything. He just stopped trying to be anything else except what he was.
What kind of as it is?
It's pink rock. He said we were saying as it is, and he says, what ass is it? As it is, and he's like, what ass is it?
What kind of ass?
And I was like, A-S, not A-S, it's not.
We are clean at those. As it is. It is no problem. What the meaning of
as it is?
So my last question is for, like, working with beginners who really have a beginner's mind, who have no perspective whatsoever. Would something like a mantra be a good entry point as kind of an anchor, or would he recommend something else as an anchor for someone with no experience, nothing in this universe, completely outside?
Beginner, so in it. I'm a toku relu, so in it.
Excuse me, what's a mantra? I don't know what that means.
It's something you say to yourself or repeat.
Oh, maybe come and go this, maybe in this impermanent, later this pain must be gone.
Like saying something to yourself to make yourself feel better. That's how she needs it. Like, you know, some people say, oh, this will also pass. Oh, this will also pass. Or,
okay.
Oh, it's okay. This is their nature. You know, you just say it to yourself, but it's not that you really understand.
I know you still, I know don't be so there to tell the Ganam Lelo. But calling up is so there, the Ganam Lelo.
If we have to use a mantra, Sierra says, it's because we don't understand it. Because if we understood it, then we would be free. We wouldn't have to use a mantra. Yeah.
And
he said most of the time we're using all these ways to comfort ourselves.
Understanding what you told me.
Because we want to be free of the pain that we are experiencing. Not just physical pain, but mental pain. And, you know, we don't want to face the pain. We're afraid of the pain. So we try to tell ourselves things to make ourselves feel better, hoping that the pain will go away. You know, yeah. But that's not the right way. Because Seattle says, pain is there for a reason. And if we don't find out the reason, we cannot take away the reason, then the pain will not go away.
Yeah,
so some people like say, everything is impermanent. They say everything is impermanent. So, never mind. You know, they don't have to worry about it because it will also go away. But Seattle says they forget that everything is cause and effect. And if the cause is not taken care of, the effect will continue to be there. So, things will not go
away.
Seattle says, when people advise other people, sometimes you say, you know, when somebody is suffering and you say to them, it's okay, it'll be over, don't worry, it's okay. And the person who's suffering is like, no, it's not okay, it's not going to be over. And it's for, you know, because there's cause and effect. They don't know what the cause is, what the condition is for that suffering to be there. And when you can't deal with the real cause, the effect will continue and continue. That's why samsara is still here, right? Because the cause is still there. When will samsara ever end? You can't say it's impermanent. Samsara seems
to be there.
Hello. So there is, you know, there are beliefs, some people believe that that at some point life will end, finish, that's it. It doesn't matter whether you're good or bad, it ends and that's the end of the story. Yeah, there are different kinds of...
The wrong view them, I say. 52 wrong view them, I the coupon.
Also, I just want to go on a little bit of a sidetrack here. When someone's suffering, and then another person says their mantra, well, it's impermanent, you know. It's almost like dismissing that person's suffering.
Yeah.
And that person is going through it, obviously. And that person doesn't really do any service to the person who's suffering.
Yeah.
You know, it's awful. when you're in the position and somebody, of course I know it's suffering now. Of course I know it's impermanent, but
it's here now.
It's
here now. Yeah. Hello. The chalu ko atata audio be na takalik ho lua o takalik sensitive mapi ko ho lua dukha yam ni da ko
Usually they don't want to feel your suffering.
It's because they don't want to suffer because you're suffering.
Yes.
Because they're suffering. Yeah. And they want you to stop suffering so that they can stop suffering. That's what's happening. Samsara will continue until the condition for samsara end. If the condition remains, samsara will continue.
Never end. Never end. No cross, never end. It is a dukkha. Oh,
Mandi. Hello, you are here. Sab ay the mao balo te maler. Mantra pe mala. Hello, pe te la. Tulo longa amatok tapu sa imbalo long.
Information right attitude information but beginner
Seattle says that for him, for beginners, people who have never practiced before, what he gives them is all that information about right attitude, about seeing things in the right way. So he says all of us have our automatic reactions to things, but then given this series of information telling us how, you know, things are nature, you know, there's cause and effect, and if we understand that the trigger is in the mind, So if they, but it also, he said, depends on the listener. If the listener is able to intellectually absorb and agree somewhat with the logic, they're much more able to put it into effect and put it into the practice. So they must understand the logic of it. If they don't understand the logic of the all the right attitudes and right views that he talks about, then they're just using a mantra. Then they're repeating it to themselves. Oh, this is nature, but it doesn't make any difference.
They don't work.
Yeah. So they have to have a sense of it, at least, to try So initially it's intellectual understanding, and then, of course, there's just the awareness.
Mm.
And then, hopefully, a greater understanding can arise. And he always tells yogis never to bear burdens that they cannot bear, right? So you do your best, you try to face the difficult emotions and so on, and then when you can't, and you try to do it the right way, you know, you observe not the concept, the reality of the feeling and so on, and then if you really can't bear it, he says, do something, distract the mind, go for a walk, change the posture, change your object. Take a neutral object. But continue to be aware. Of something else. But for those who have been practicing a while, or for those who understand this, Seattle says it's better if they just recognize things as they are. You know, like they have an aversion to something, they just know the mind has aversion. They have a wrong attitude.
Relax, accept.
They know they have wrong attitude.
No need this. If you not accept, you try to watch your not accept. Not try to relax, you try to watch your tension.
So kind of seeing the filter view,
seeing what is the filter, yeah. If they're able to do that, or they've had some practice, then they should definitely.
Beginners, you know, they cannot change, you know, that's why you accept, then they try to accept, better to watch, can watch a little bit, not very well. But we slowly, slowly come. Accept, relax, try mind.
Try mind is relaxed in Vietnamese. What is accept?
If somebody calls you pain and you just say, well, last lifetime I did something to them and I did it to me, is that a mantra?
What?
Ya ya ko dokape or dilosin jene bo e bo ro nga tu dokape ga lu tu nga dokape ra phit me
elo da le sin na la be da le tatta o sin na da le man sin na la man ne man lo tatta la
if you feel better that means you thought right in a way that's that's helpful for you but yeah it's also just like something to make you feel better
But you must
understand one thing. The cause and effect, it has nothing to do with the person. Okay, usually. It has to do with the mind. So, when you suffer something, the person who does something to you is incidental to your suffering.
Right.
So, it may not be, like in the past life, say you said you caused suffering, but the suffering comes back to you, but who it comes through is...
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't have to be that person.
That's the cause and effect.
Yeah, the cause and effect is that you've caused suffering, so suffering comes back. That's all.
And if you understand that, that's not mantra.
If you understand it, it's not a mantra. If the mind feels right about it, the mind will feel... Yeah. He says, although this is a the logic is correct, but if you're, it's only if your mind understands it in the right way that your mind gets relief.
Yeah?
But if you understood, really
well,
understood that principle, you won't need to say that to yourself. And you won't feel upset. Yeah. The fact that we have to think about something, it means that that wisdom is not living in our mind. That's why we have to think about it to try and remind ourselves of that wisdom. You know, it's not living. So it's a kind of positive thinking, but positive thinking is limited in how much it can help.
Just like instead of get mad at that person, you say, well, that's not a problem because I caused that. So I just take it the way it is.
The mental process.
So at that time, Seattle says somebody does something to you, you say to yourself, okay, so I suffer because I have my karma, right? I did it before. But the mind still has reaction. And you watch that after that. You say this to make the mind feel better, so you will not react to the person outside. But there's still reaction inside. And then you've accepted now that there's a reaction, you watch that.
Okay.
You watch that. And that's where the understanding will grow from. So for Vipassana practice, accepting is not the end of the story. You accept so that you can continue to be aware. Seattle says that just because you accept and you're not angry doesn't mean that you are incapable. Okay? So Seattle says that once you've accepted, you do what you need to do, which is to be aware. If there's no more aversion, there's wisdom, there's understanding, you are clear, he says, then you might see that there's something that needs to be done, even externally. You know, maybe things need to be said, explained, or maybe it needs to be silent. Whatever it is, when there's no aversion, you understand what needs to be done. But for you, there's no more aversion, so it doesn't matter either way. Whether you speak or don't speak, it doesn't matter, but you know what is the right thing to do. Yeah.
I have two more questions. In some sitting, when it's quiet and the mind is clear, sometimes it seems like a thought is about to arise, but before it's formed, I notice that the thoughts come in, but when I'm aware of it, it disappears before it appeared.
Mm-hmm.
So sort of, is it possible? And the second question is...
It's just that you haven't seen the thought spoken, but the thought has already been thought. You saw the subtle thought want to speak. But the speaking doesn't happen. When our awareness becomes better and we see like that, Seattle says, the way we describe it, we say, we can see the thought is going to start. Like we are going to think. But actually, we've already thought the thought already. The thought is finished in the mind. That's why we know it's going to now become louder. But it doesn't become louder, that's all. But the thought has already been known.
And we don't know what kind of thought it is. It just, I know
sometimes.
It is.
Can know.
Sometimes you don't know what thought it is, but sometimes you completely know what thought it was.
Sometimes we know the thought is happening, but we don't know very clearly.
Yeah.
Well, the second one, the chanting in the morning and always chant and we we chant along, but then I suggested to him that, oh, the first part, let us ask for the precept first, and then he agrees to do it. So we did that yesterday and today. And so I felt good that, oh, we're now doing it right. And I feel good, but then I realized there was some... So first is but then I realized there was some self in there. I'm suggesting it. So I can see the suffering, and even though it's feel good, but I can feel the dukkha in that. So I watched that, and then that dukkha went away, and then that feel equanimous after that.
So what if the chanting was wrong, he said? Well, it's not the words, huh?
10 minutes.
10 minutes.
If the chanting is wrong, so what?
Well, actually, you know, normally we would have to ask
the monk to give us precept.
But the first few days, Uwai keeps saying it, and we read along. So what
if it's done the way it was done? What's wrong with that?
So he's
making a very suggestive, it's a very suggestive question. Because you said that you felt better that it was being done in the right way, right? You called it right. So if it was done in the wrong way, that means your mind will not be very happy. Right? Of course. Right? But he's asking, what's wrong with it being done a different way? Right and wrong is our...
Maybe wrong, but this should not be angry. Or not, should not be upset. Or should not be sad.
The only thing that's changed is the procedure. Okay, the chanting itself is not wrong. It's fine. The procedure is not important. There are so many different procedures all over the world. It's just our fixed idea. Yeah.
Should be like this.
Or preconceived
it should be
idea.
Like it is a different way, not happy.
Or feel dumb, yeah. Uncomfortable, yeah.
Yeah. Just want to add up into the comment about the thought and the soul of mind. When you see it, the thought is not spoken, you still can see it's good or bad. Sometimes you know before it happened. And if you can see it, it's not speaking up clearly, but there's a wanting mind in all of that, images and thought, all of that, but there's a wanting mind. When you see that and you fall into that trap, it becomes a story and the mind starts to talk.
It can be like that. Yeah, you can't stop the way the mind works, you know. It's just what you can see.
Yeah.
You can see it at different levels. And different times the mind will be doing different things. So it's not always one way.
Yeah, that's what I just want to say. The question is, another question that, can I take like when the awareness is very sharp, that the crawling thing, the sensation, that crawling in the face and the head, can I take that as an indicator? Like,
indicator of what?
Is that the mindful is sharp?
Awareness good is the quality of the mind. What does it have to do with There's so many reasons why things appear on the body, right? The body is made up of karma, right? Result, food, nutrition, food, temperature, and mind, right? Mind is only one quarter of the things that feed the body. Why would you measure the mind by what happens in the body? You should look at the mind directly to see what's happening in the mind.
It's just whenever the awareness is very sharp, I can see that sensation.
Ability to know is better.
So you just know the quality of the mind. The mind is sharp.
Oh, okay. That's
measure it by that.
That's what I mean.
He says, all this sensation because you didn't put lotion. He said,
no, it's not that one.
Yeah, he's joking.
Certain level, then you think you think the moment you think that you think that you think that
you think that it's true that when the awareness becomes better and you know more subtle things, you will feel subtle sensations in the body. Okay, but see the quality of the mind. Don't go and measure it by what you observe.
Could you talk a bit about belief systems and kind of where they're rooted, which defilements they're rooted in, and how to move through belief systems?
Yonari.
Like this is right and this is wrong.
Seka yonari. Dibu pite ne ma pite u
liya
ma ne.
Yon ne lakha ne.
Era beya ni sara le.
Delusion ne wisdom o.
Delusion. Beliefs are rooted in delusion.
Seka shiya seka biwa nao seka yon ne da we.
Delusion
a akong lai yon na we.
Delusion believes everything, you know, the mind says this, and the mind says that, and delusion just believes. So delusion's work is just believe. Wisdom doesn't just believe. Wisdom must know for sure.
But check, touch check like this.
Wisdom always checks, double checks. Is this true? Is it really true? Is it good? Really is it good?
Really good.
Is it true to be a thing about Jared?
It is true.
Is it true?
Ah, I'm aware.
Tegela.
Oh.
Tegela.
Tegela.
That's what Luria Yoneri, or Dino Mapite, Tegela. Mapite, not Tegela. Pine, yes, Mapite, Mopia.
Pite, so there, my Mapite was a good Mapitian of your Pitia, she looked in me.
Yeah, Byron Katie, to a little bit.
Is one of the questions to be asked, will this lead to freedom?
Yes.
One question about watching the mind and investigation. So, let's say when I'm sitting, I'm meditating, and there's a lot of planning. So, when I note that, it stops.
If you need to plan, then you need to continue planning.
But then, so then, with the process, when I need to plan, do you, like, let's say it continues for like 10 minutes, do I let it go for 10 minutes and watch it?
Let it go and continue knowing.
So do you ask questions like, why am I planning? What is the root of this planning? Do I need to ask that while it's going? Or just
know.
Just know that it's fine, but watch the whole process from like, even if it goes on for like 10 minutes.
And then the learning will happen by itself.
Okay, so eventually it will. I don't need to ask any questions during that time.
Just watch, just watch. And in the beginning, just watch. When you watching becomes very skillful, sometimes you can ask why.
Investigate, look, explore, look, experiment, look.
All this exploring, experimenting,
and all
can happen when there's skill. And you've watched like 100 and maybe 1,000 times, and then you can, you know, you can. Maybe not 100 times, but when you've watched a lot, you become more skillful. You're like quite confident. You can be aware, and then you can ask a question sometimes.
And when you ask the question when it's going, or you ask the question after?
No. At that time, you will come by itself.
Question
The question will come from the wisdom.
It's just naturally.
It comes naturally.
Force it or no need to just think.
Like Buddha. Yeah, its nature will do as well, asking the question and all that.
So I don't want to stop the thinking.
But if you focus too much, you will stop the thinking. You can only just know. You need to learn how to be aware so that you are not involved in the thinking, but not stopping the thinking. Just aware of the thinking. You need to practice a lot. When the mind starts to realize this is an object, thinking is an object, it can see, it can just be aware. Most of the time when most people we are aware of thinking, we focus on the thought. And then the thought stops. Yeah, but that's not just being aware. So Seattle says, like if you want to use an analogy, right? Maybe you think of the mind as 100% thing, and just very oversimple. But say thinking is about 20%, and awareness is 80%, right? It's like knowing this strong thinking can't do much. We can't because it's so no power.
100% low line,
and if awareness is 100%, thinking will stop, right? So you need to balance. Allow the thinking to do its work, allow the awareness to do its work.
50-50.
Something like that. Yeah. It's not exactly like something like that. Seattle was asked once, how do you measure it's 50-50? Like, not exactly like that, you need to tune, he means. You need to tune.
Okay,
baby.
Yeah, finish. Bye bye.